Chapter number one, God and Satan are after you. Why did the XXX shop have to be across the street from my room? My room! I wish I could say it was strategically placed there, but the porn shop was there before the barracks construction was even completed. You see, the store was only a problem because it fed to an unhealthy appetite or craving that I had. If I was an alcoholic, I probably would have said the same thing of the bar down the street. But my thing was porn. Now, your issue may not be what I dealt with. Yours could have been, or could be, indulging in your wild nature at the club, letting your self-control go at a friend's house party, or even a little more subtle, it could be replaying a horrible nightmare at the house of an ex. The point is, we all have something that feeds the craving of flesh that leads to sin, which leads to separation from God. Why? Why in the world does being a Christian have to be so difficult? My initial way of thinking landed on the idea that it was okay just going to church, hearing a good message, and living my life the best way I knew how. But no. Apparently, San Diego, being a military-driven city, had a supply for unhealthy indulgence everywhere. From red light districts to countless bars, if you want it, they had it. And I was just another victim. I felt at times in my struggle that I was being singled out from other Christians. It was as if no one else truly knew what I had to deal with on a daily basis. There were times when I felt alone, having to be the only one to fight the way I did. And I didn't understand what I did to deserve dealing with this kind of struggle. Sometimes we need to be reminded we're not the only ones fighting. No doubt, you may have felt the way I felt, that you were the only one fighting this war. Now, you know you're not the only one, but sometimes you feel like you are. You see, my friends, isolation seems to be the most visited place when dealing with internal conflicts. We either isolate ourselves or we are isolated by those we are surrounded by. And as a result of my reoccurring unhealthy appetite, it resulted in me isolating myself because I believed no one truly knew how I felt and why I did what I did. I'm telling you, it was the loneliest time in my entire life. It was during this time in my life, I honestly felt like someone was trying to destroy me from the inside out. I once heard a message from Bishop Neil C. Ellis from the Nassau Bahamas, and he made a statement that said, "You are eventually going to have to learn that both God and Satan are both after you. One is after your flesh, while the other is after your spirit." When I first heard this, I realized it was a reality that I have neglected to consider for myself. There was a tug of war over my life, but the challenge I need to understand was not recognizing who was stronger, for we know there's no weakness in God. But the real question I fought with drove me to consider, who was the owner of my heart? You see, for whoever has your heart has the authority to take you wherever they want. To you, I say, be mindful of who you give your heart to and where you expose your heart. For the Bible says, out of it flows the issues of life. And I say, if those issues are fueled by the lust in your heart, then the issues that will flow from your heart can suffocate you and cause you to drown. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it has conceived, bears sin. And the sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now I want you to consider this. Death is described here as the result of developed sin, being the conception of lust originating from evil passions and desires. What does that mean? It basically means what you're fighting with has the ability to eventually kill you. In actuality, I would say the more you feed the craving of your lust, the faster you are at decaying. Whoever thought too much indulgence could lead to your slow but impending destruction? My friends, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a good deal to me. Yet here lies a problem. The craving you fight with in the lust of your heart is actually the result of a bargain for your soul. You think you're just filling your belly up with crap? When in actuality, you are handing over the keys of your life and future over to someone who wants you dead and separated from God. Let's take a look at the life of Job. We learned that Job was a man who the Bible called upright and blameless. The Bible in Job chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and turned away from evil. I want you to consider that this guy Job was so God-led and driven, he regularly prayed for his kids. Here it is, just in case they did something wrong against God. We find that in the scripture in Job chapter 1, verse 5. It was so when the days of their feasting had run their course that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and renounced God in their hearts. And so Job did so continually. So you see, Job had a sincere reverence for God. And it played out in his everyday life. So now we can understand that there was an undeniable connection Job had with God. And the Lord endorsed Job's devotion by dubbing him a man blameless, upright, with no other comparison to him on the earth. But then we see an unexpected turn of events. For in Job chapter 1, verse 6, we are taken to a location where angels and divine beings were presenting themselves before God. During this moment of inspection, Satan, we know him to be the enemy, the adversary, the devil. He also presents himself before the Lord. There is an exchange of words between God and Satan. Job chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, Lord says to Satan, where have you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and says, from going back and forth in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now, my friends, you have to understand something. Satan was not implying that he was on a vacation. He wasn't sightseeing the earth and appreciating the beautiful sights our world has to offer. No, he was on a mission. We learn, according to the Gospel of St. John 10 and 10, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, the text implies that the thief here has no other design in coming but to plunder. That his first principal view is to steal, to invade, to seize, and carry away another's property. A thief comes to take what does not belong to him. Then we also discover, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, be sober and self-controlled. Be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So in one case, we understand him to be a thief, taking what does not belong to him. But here we have a more characteristic view on Satan walking on the earth. He wasn't just taking a stroll through Central Park. No. He was walking in the form of a lion who was hungry for game. Let us consider for a moment the characteristics of a lion. If you ever get the chance to watch the Discovery Channel, you will notice the lion not only hunts in packs, but they operate in the element of surprise when hunting. They seek for the best advantage to pounce. They often look for the game that is wounded, confused, fearful, and struggling. They seek after the game that gives them the greatest opportunity to devour it. They come to confuse their game and cause mischief. You see, my friends, this lion we refer to, it's not the crouching lion hiding in the shadows of the night. No. This is the lion that circles his prey, instilling fear of death. He seduces his prey to run from the pack. He draws his prey out of safety to be isolated and easy to overwhelm. Yeah, this is who he is. And this is his mission. We find in Job chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord says to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan replies, I say in a sneering way, "I was looking for my next meal." And then the Lord responds in such a way that confused me. Watch this. Job chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him on the earth, blameless and an upright man, one who fears God and turns away from evil." Oh. Wait, Lord, are you serious? Now, you want to feed this hungry lion? Friends, look, I don't know about you, but this scripture slapped me upside the head, leaving me dazed and confused. The Lord in this scripture wants to feed the lion a piece of meat. And the piece of meat he wants to feed the lion is his servant Job? Man, I'm at a loss for words. Let me ask you, have you ever felt like you were the piece of carcass thrown into the den of lions to feed their hungry bellies? I mean, man, I mean, think about it. We just went through it. Job is upright. He's one of the best, if not the best representations of a godly man on earth. And the Lord repays him with being thrown to the lions? You may feel this way when you take a look at the struggles you face. Isn't it amazing how one week could be the best week of your entire life? Yet throughout the course of one day, your whole world can be thrown upside down. And what is the common response when dealing with unfortunate and uncontrolled circumstances? We replay unhealthy patterns. We go back to the alcohol bottle. We go back to the overuse of pain medication. We go back to the cigarettes. We go back to the promiscuous living. We go back to the patterns that temporarily fill a void. My friends, this can be a common place to visit, but should never be a place you set up to be your new home. You see, self-infliction caused by toxic responses due to unfortunate circumstances can eventually lead to your destruction. I say to you, my friends, If you do not take careful consideration regarding this conflict, it can gain momentum beyond your ability to stop it and will snuff the very life out of you. Please take this heed and this warning. In the exchange of words between God and Satan, the attention is thrown on Job. The Lord suggests Job to be Satan's next prey. But consider here, Satan responds with a sense of concern. We find in Job chapter 1, verse 9, "Then Satan answered the Lord and says, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you made a hedge around him and his house and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land.'" So think about this. Basically, Satan was saying, why should I go after him? I would be destined to fail, and there is no advantage for me. I love this. Here, my friends, we learned an interesting note. Satan knows he has no advantage over a prey that belongs to God. You see, he realizes that a prey in a pack leaves him at a greater disadvantage in his attempt to conquer you. So you should understand, in all that you go through in life, you must never forget who you belong to. For who you belong to determines how guarded and protected you are from the attacks made against your life. This is why the Bible identifies Jesus in John 10 and 11 as the great shepherd. He is the one who manages, supervises, and carefully watches over those who are his. Satan knows there is no reason to come against those who are under the care of the great shepherd. It's a lose-lose situation. Job chapter 1, verse 11. Satan says, "But if you release the fence of protection and strike what he has and own, he will denounce his submission to you and curse you to your face." I want you to consider this first, that the Lord doesn't need to prove anything to anyone, especially to this fallen angel who had no power compared to our sovereign God. Yet the Lord accepted the wager. Satan is known as the great adversary, the one who opposes you. And during this meeting, his aim regarding Job was to convince the Lord that his faith and his righteousness was not sincere, that Job's commitment to God was tied to what he had opposed to who God was in his life. And the same goes with you. Consider this, my friends. The enemy continues to pester you in his attempt to prove to God that your devotion to God isn't sincere and that you can be bought and swayed away from God at the right price. But you have to commit to proving the enemy wrong by standing your ground. Friends, get your feet planted and don't allow the pestures of external influences to draw you to an unhealthy place. I want you to consider that there are some things the Lord has and will allow in your life, not to destroy you nor dismantle you in any way, but to establish and fortify your faith in him. I'm going to say that again. The Lord allows some suffering to establish and fortify not his faith in you, but your faith in him. Notice what the Lord does. Job chapter 1, verse 12. The Lord says to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only on himself do not put forth your hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Wow. And here now we have the start of the great war. As I stated before, God and Satan are both after you. But one thing to be encouraged by, my friends, is the fact that the Lord would not submit you to be attacked by the enemy if he didn't trust you could handle it. Let's go to the scriptures again. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. The writer says, no temptation has taken you except what is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So I say to you, my friends, the Lord is here to help you press through the pressure in your flesh. Don't give Satan any more credit. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh.